Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimcoe.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
All right. So this morning I was starting a series on the Holy Spirit and I realized next week is Palm Sunday and the week after is Easter. So we're going to jump into our series and then we're going to pause for a few weeks and then we're going to come back into it. And so, Well, if you were to ask me who my best friend is, I would tell you that growing up, my best friend was a guy named Peter, who I met in high school in grade 11, and he was in my wedding party, and he serves Jesus, he loves the Lord, him and his family. I mean, we haven't talked in a long time, but he would be my best friend from high school. I had some friends in Bible college that were my best friends, and some of those guys were part of my wedding, and I stood up in some of their weddings. Some of you know Roy Pierce and his daughter, Patty, one of his best friends, one of his husband, Jeff, was one of my closest friends in college, and we don't talk very much, but I know that whenever we talk, how many have those people in your life that it just picks right up where you left off? My best friend is actually my wife. And she puts up with me, so that right there is worthy of best friend status. And she's been doing so for 32 years. But you know, if I can be perfectly honest with you, the closest best friend that I have in my life, and I'm not saying this to sound spiritual, this is a true statement. The person that without hesitation, if you were to say to me, who's your best friend? Without even hesitating, I would say it's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my closest, most intimate, and best friend. He knows more things about me than I would even want to know and remember about myself. And probably not a day goes by, and this isn't, you know, pastoral hyperbole or an exaggeration. Probably not a day goes by where at some point I don't say something like this, Holy Spirit, thank you for your patience with me and your kindness. He has been so kind to me, and he's been so patient. I know some of you are smiling. I know he's been patient with you as well, because I know you. So today I want to introduce this series on Holy Spirit, and I've entitled this message, Misunderstanding the Holy Spirit or the Misunderstood God. It's important that we know him and walk in relationship to him. We can grow to appreciate his life and ministry to us. His importance to our lives can't be overstated. In fact, when Jesus was coming to the end of his earthly ministry, he was letting his disciples know, guys, I'm going to be returning to the Father, and you're with me now, but there's coming a time in the very near future when I will no longer be with you. And they were devastated. I mean, they were freaking out because they had put all of their faith and their entire life into following Jesus for the last 3 years. They thought that Jesus was going to set up his earthly messianic kingdom and that they were going to rule and reign with him on this earth at that time. So when he started to tell them, guys, I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm returning to the Father. They were devastated. And the Lord has to start comforting them. And one of the ways that he comforted them was found in John chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. And he makes this statement. He said, your hearts are filled with sadness because I've told you these things. But here's the truth. It's to your advantage, or it's better that I go away. For if I don't go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I'll send him to you. Can you imagine how astonishing this statement was to his followers? Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How could it possibly be better? This would have been astonishing to them. But I want you to think about how important the ministry of the Holy Spirit is and how important he is to our lives, because we are living in the better. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, on us, and with us. It's to your advantage that I go. So we are the ones who have benefited because we have the Spirit in us. And yet it's only to our advantage, and it only increases the blessing of having him to know him deeper, to receive the benefits of his indwelling life and to know his presence. So if you were raised in a non-Pentecostal, non-charismatic kind of tradition, we maybe could have called this message the forgotten God. Because often the Holy Spirit was relegated to prayers and to things that were said like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there was no real understanding, no real teaching on who the Holy Spirit was and the life that he brings. He was kind of just relegated. Many of those people, obviously in those churches, know and understand Jesus. I have a unique relationship with every member of the Trinity. I do, and you do as well. I pray to the Father sometimes. He is Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Jesus, I have a unique relationship with Jesus because it was Jesus who laid down his life for me. Come on, how many are thankful? It was Jesus who came and has for all time covered himself in humanity and flesh. We will see a man named Jesus and we will walk with him through eternity. He did something that the other two members of the Godhead did not do. He came and clothed himself in flesh, tasted death, and laid down his life for me. And so many of those church traditions, they have a very awesome, amazing understanding and relationship with the Lord Jesus and the Father. But the Holy Spirit's kind of relegated to the side. If you were raised, as I was, in a Pentecostal or a charismatic church, we might be able to say the Holy Spirit is definitely misunderstood. I think sometimes in Pentecostal charismatic circles, we lose sight of his personhood because we're so focused on his power. We seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit and forget that he lives in us and he wants the fruit of his life, the fruit of the Spirit to form in us. We sometimes almost can treat him like a commodity that enhances and empowers our lives, and we forget very much that he's a person to be known. So very practically this morning, I want to introduce us to Holy Spirit by simply stating what he is not and who he is. And as I've already hinted at in our prayer time, I want to end with something just encouraging that will hopefully bless your life and bring faith and confidence to you this week. So these list of what he is not and what he is not exhaustive by any means. I just thought I would touch on a few of the major ones. Number one, the Holy Spirit is not a force or only a presence. The Holy Spirit is not like the Force, like in Star Wars, where we can use the Force and manipulate the Force and grow in the use of the Force for our own purposes. In Star Wars, there's people that tap into the dark side of the Force and the good side of the Force, but sometimes we can almost have an understanding of the Holy Spirit like that, especially when we see some of the charismaniac things that go on, and it almost seems like people are manipulating the Holy Spirit for their purposes. He's not a force that can be used for our purposes. Come on, who would say amen to that? Neither is he an impersonal presence or power. We can feel his presence. For those of you that are new or visiting, I believe in presence-driven ministry. The greatest value that I think that a church can have is the manifestation of the presence of God. It's the church. People can go get coffee and sweets other places. People can make connections other places, but we as a church need to be able to offer people to be able to come in and actually connect with the very life and presence of God. We need to be about presence-driven ministry, but the Holy Spirit is not just a presence. When his presence comes and is tangible, we know he's with us. It's proof that he is here. But he is not what emanates from God like an essence, and he is not a lesser God, slightly inferior to the Father and Son. Even though the Bible likens Holy Spirit to fire, to water, to rain, to wind and oil, he is not those things. In fact, I was reading John chapter 7 today, and Jesus said, out of your innermost being would flow what? Streams of living water. And then John puts this little caveat in there. He says, and he was speaking of the Holy Spirit who had not yet come. So even Jesus likens the Holy Spirit. That's why we sing about the river. Let the river come. Let the fire come. I've been in services where the fire of God falls, and I'm telling you, folks, there's an awesome weight to it because the fire usually leads us to glory. But the Holy Spirit is not any of those things. In the same way he appeared as a dove, he was not a dove. We say that Jesus is the lion and the lamb and the bright and morning star, but he's not a lion or a lamb or the bright and morning star. We call the Father the Ancient of Days, and yet the Father's not an old man. But all of those names, all of those likeness, give us a picture of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. I love presence-driven, Holy Spirit-driven ministry. I think he's partial to it. Do you know why? Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, the wind blows wherever it wants. And that's what it's like by the person born of the Spirit. You don't know necessarily where it comes from or where it's going. You just kind of go along with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, that's what the person who is born of the Spirit is like. And I like that kind of lifestyle, and I like that kind of ministry. A lifestyle where we say, let's just put our sails up and let's just go where the Spirit takes us. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. And yet the Holy Spirit is not just some force that moves us. So then who is he? First of all, he's not an it. Please don't make statements like, I love it when the Holy Spirit comes. We need it. Oh, I was listening to an old-time Pentecostal preacher who was really well-known in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and this man knows Jesus, has led countless thousands to the Lord and seen countless thousands set free and healed and delivered, but in one message he was saying, we need the Holy Spirit, we need it, we need his power, we need his presence, and I was like, and I had to turn it off. He's not an it, he's a he. Say that with me. Holy Spirit is a he. And I think sometimes we say it because we've depersonalized who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. He is a he. He is a person. Because he is in essence God, there can be no lesser than. When referring to the Lord or any member of the Trinity, he is one God present in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. So when referring to the members of the Godhead, including Holy Spirit, he is holy and completely perfect and always has been, because there can be no lesser God. Can be no lesser God. The Spirit is equal to the Father and Son, even though his role is different. He is attributed in Scripture as having attributes that only God can have. It says in Hebrews 9, verse 14, that the Holy Spirit is eternal. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Do you know what that means? He had no start, and he has no end. So I want you to start thinking about that tonight, right before you're about to fall asleep. Start to go, God has no starting point. He just always has been. Let me ponder on that. I guarantee you, you'll be up to 4 o'clock trying to figure that one out. Holy Spirit is eternal. He wasn't created, even though he's the creator of all things. Psalm 139, 7-10 says he is all present everywhere at once. Do you know what it means to be omnipresent, present at once? It doesn't just mean everywhere at once. It means every place in time at once. The Holy Spirit is all present, which means he fills all time and all space at once. There's no passage of time with him. 1 Corinthians 2, 10-11 says he's all-knowing and knows everything there is to know, and he's always known. He's not learning anything new. I remember teaching this to a youth ministry one time, because they said, what does it mean to know everything? And so I did a deep dive study on it. It means that God knows everything, not just what was and is to come. God knows what could be, what should be. He knows plan A, plan B, plan C for every person's life. He knows it consecutively and all at once. God will never, ever look down and say, I didn't see that coming, or I didn't. It's mind-boggling just how amazing our God is, and the Holy Spirit is all of those things. In Luke 1:35, he's all powerful. So even though his role in the Godhead is different to Father and Son, it's understood because God is a God of order. So everything has a divine purpose and plan, including the role of Father, Son, and Spirit in the Godhead. But Holy Spirit is a person. He's described as having the attributes of personhood. He is a being who can know and be known. He feels. He can be grieved. He can be resisted. He can be yielded to. He can be obeyed. He speaks. He creates. He leads. He guides. He performs acts. He gives gifts to the church, the Bible tells us, as He determines. The Apostle Paul said the Holy Spirit forbade us to go there. The Holy Spirit has a will. He has an agenda. He has a purpose. Jesus was God in the flesh during his time on earth. Now God works by Holy Spirit as he works through and with mankind to achieve and accomplish his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything that God does on earth is done through Holy Spirit right now. Do you know that when you pray to Jesus, you're actually praying through and by and to the Holy Spirit? Jesus made this statement. He said that the Father, and he was saying, he says, the Father and I will come and we will dwell within you. The Holy Spirit so represents the Father and Son that the Father and Son live in you and I through the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Jesus was on earth, he would say things again? I'm reading in the book of John right now, and Jesus would make statements like, I don't say anything apart from what I hear the Father say. I don't do anything apart from what the Father tells me to do. And then Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Jesus was literally the mirror reflection. It means the exact representation of who God was. Now the Holy Spirit does nothing and is the exact representation of every purpose, every will, every mandate, everything that God the Father wants to accomplish on earth, everything that God the Father and Jesus wants to do in you, the Holy Spirit is an exact representation of that. He perfectly represents the Father and Son to us. I know sometimes people get really worried, oh, if we overemphasize the Holy Spirit, like, oh, you know, we don't sing him, the more that we recognize the Holy Spirit, he does something, he reflects. He reflects us to Jesus. So the more that I walk in covenant relationship with Holy Spirit, the more that he makes Jesus just so real to me. Has anyone recognized that in your life? I said this in the first group, and I'll say it again because the Lord was here. This morning when the Holy Spirit started to manifest, did any of you go, he's here? I can sense the presence of the Spirit here. It's okay to put your hands up, not a trick question. If you didn't, we're not going to say like, oh, right? If you sense the Holy Spirit here this morning, usually what follows is our worship to Jesus becomes richer. When the Holy Spirit manifests, Jesus is magnified. That's why it's so important to walk in relationship with Holy Spirit. So, let's move on. He so perfectly represents Father and Son. It's John 14, 23, when Jesus said that they would come live in us. So, to know Holy Spirit is to know God. And can I tell you something? You're already in relationship with Holy Spirit if you're a believer. The first time you ever heard God speak, it was Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's the one who convicts us of sin and convinces us of our need for Jesus. So the first conversation you ever had with God, man, maybe I need the Lord in my life. That was Holy Spirit interacting with you. So you already know his voice. When you sense his presence, experience the wonder of his glory, that's the Spirit revealing Yahweh. When you pray and ask for wisdom and direction and you're led by peace or an unsettledness that causes you to dig in and press in and move more, a scripture comes to mind, or you receive direction for your life, that's God directing you by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know and understand the Holy Spirit wrote this? It's God breathed. That word God breathed taught me, it means the breath of God, and the breath of God was another word that described the Holy Spirit's activity. The Holy Spirit, this is what I love about scriptures. And I don't know if I said it in the second service last week, but if you're ever that you can't access, you're like, God, I can't hear you and I can't access your presence, you will always find Holy Spirit speaking in the pages of Holy Scripture. He always speaks through scripture. It's an incredible truth that you and I have living right within us, the very one who authored this book and can exegete it and break it down and make it practical for our lives. He's always waiting to explain what this means for our lives. It's Holy Spirit in you and Holy Spirit on you that makes this living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. I've had people over the years say, I don't believe the Bible. It was just a group of guys that wrote it, a group of guys that argued it and put it together. What makes you think the Bible's real? And this is what I usually tell them, because I've seen the Bible change lives. I have seen the Bible transform lives. I have seen the Bible change my life because it's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. And God speaks to me through this book, and that's all that I need to know, to trust it, because I trust the one who gave it to me. He is the one who anoints us and enables us with his power. He is the one who makes us naturally supernatural and gives gifts. Holy Spirit's always deflecting the attention back to Jesus. He loves to reveal God to us because he's God with us. And so, as we journey through April, once we get through Easter, as we journey through April, my prayer and my hope is that you will learn to know Holy Spirit more, you will learn to trust him more, and that all of us will be filled not just with his indwelling presence, but his baptism presence on our lives. I need a few Pentecostal people to say amen to that. Amen. But I think sometimes we're hesitant because maybe we've seen extremes in the body of Christ, or maybe we're nervous. But again, I want you to know something. You can trust Holy Spirit. You trusted Jesus with your salvation. You can trust Holy Spirit with your life and your formation. It's to your advantage, Jesus said, that I go. And then he told his disciples, wait for the power and the promise, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come. It's to your advantage that I go. So I just want to end with something really practical. Again, I've already touched on it, so we'll kind of go through this quickly. The very first time we're introduced to Holy Spirit in Scripture is in the second verse of the Bible. So let's turn to Genesis 1. We'll read the first three verses. I encourage you to read Genesis 1 sometime today, in the next few days, and see the creative power and presence of God. So Genesis 1, verse 1 to 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then for the next 6 days, God is creating. So let me break it down. I told the morning group I wasn't going to tell you, but I'll let you in on what I told them this morning so that you can be as enriched in your life and your theology as they were. In the beginning, God, the word God is the Hebrew word Elohim. And Elohim is actually a plural word when it's written here. In the beginning, God, plural. We already have a picture of the Godhead. Because it's a word that's plural, but it also denotes unity within plurality. I know, now you're like, okay, but. So it says, in the beginning, God, plural, created, and that word created is singular. So in the beginning, this God in three persons singularly creates all that is. But we've been given a little hint at how it happened. And it says, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. And so we don't know how the earth became form and void. There is all kinds of theories about Genesis chapter 1. Now the earth was empty and it was not shapen. And we're not going to look at any of those theories today. You can look those up yourself, okay? But the fact is there was a starting point, but it was chaotic. It was dark. There was no form. There was no purpose to it. It was just there. But the Holy Spirit was over the face of the deep. And so an easy way to break down how God created was this. The Father willed it, the Son spoke it, and the Spirit brought it to pass. And this is important theology, and I'll tell you why. Because the Bible, different places in the Scripture, you can read in Isaiah, and I believe it's Jeremiah, places where it says, and the Spirit of God who formed the universe. Okay, so the Holy Spirit formed the universe. Then it will use the word Yahweh, which speaks to the Father, and Yahweh, creator of all that is. And then we know that Colossians says that through Jesus and by Jesus and for Jesus, all things were created. And so you can kind of scratch your head and go, which one created? You got to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And Elohim, plural and yet unified, created. And so again, an easy way to break it down is the Father willed it. And in John chapter 1, we read that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was also with God in the beginning. And who's the Word? Jesus. And what did the Word do? And it says, by him, all things that have been made were made. So the Father willed it, the Word, words, he speaks. And the Holy Spirit, who is hovering over creation, hears the Word spoken and brings to pass with his creative power, with his creative might, everything that the Word spoke and willed. And the Holy Spirit still does that today. And again, we've already kind of got ahead of ourselves in our prayer time. So the Holy Spirit's presence is about to transform the earth. The verse that says that it's formless and empty means unformed and unfilled. And the Spirit of God was hovering. That word hovering is the word that was when an eagle's eggs are about to hatch, the eagle will hover and flutter, stirring up the nest to encourage the chicks to come out, but also protecting it and watching over it. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And in every day of creation, out of the Holy Spirit's life and presence, there came chaos. Out of that chaos came cosmos. Out of disorder came order. Out of emptiness came life. Out of darkness came light, bright, planet Earth. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what he still does. It was his power and presence that transformed the unformed and unfilled with the beauty and precision and purpose of all that was to be created. And so in this year of transformation, not only will Holy Spirit renovate and renew our lives, he can bring order where chaos once ruled. I've never said this in the gym, so I'm going to say it this morning. I'm preaching better than you're responding. That felt kind of good. We've been talking a lot about how the Holy Spirit transforms and renovates our lives. And sometimes, no, I don't want to say sometimes. I would never want you to get a picture that the Holy Spirit puts his finger on an area of our life. Okay, this needs to change. This isn't pleasing to the Lord. This is less than who I've called you to be. And then somehow he walks away and leaves us to ourselves. In the same way that he covered the darkness and the depths of the earth and brought life according to Jesus' will when Jesus spoke, Jesus has a will and a purpose for you, and he died to make it available. He gave his life so that you and I can live in the potential and the promises and the wholeness and the healing that he has for us. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just bring us to his word and then show us the areas of our lives that need renovated. No, the Holy Spirit is hovering. He's waiting. And he is the one that will bring order to the disorder in our lives. He is the one that will bring purpose and beauty to the chaos that either we have made by the decisions we've made or that life has brought to us or others have brought to us. Holy Spirit is the one who speaks the life of Jesus into us, and it's his creative power that brings it to pass. We just need to be willing. He stands. We talked about this a number of weeks ago. He stands at those areas of our lives, and he just very gently says, are you going to let me into that area? And then he fills, when we open up the door, he fills that area with his presence. And where his presence is all the potential of Almighty God, who is all-knowing, who's all-powerful, who's already made a way for you. And he will bring that potential to pass because he's with you. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go. It's to your advantage that I go. There is nothing impossible for Holy Spirit. There is no chaos in your life that he can't bring back into order. I want to tell you what he does, and I hope I'm okay sharing this morning because the person that gave the testimonies here, we had two testimonies last week. I want you to think of how beautiful the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. Last 2 weeks ago, I made a statement from the front of the church as I felt the Holy Spirit stir me. How many of you know that everything that we do is in cooperation with what the Spirit wants to do? Creation couldn't resist his voice. We're the only creation that can resist his voice. But the Holy Spirit stirred me And I made this statement. I said, God is here and he's willing. I said, the Spirit of the Lord is here and he wants to provide for somebody. And before you walk out of this service today, your phone is going to notify you that he's filled that provision. I said that because I believe the Holy Spirit was going to do it. And someone came to me last week. Two young ladies came to me last week. And the one lady said, you made that statement and we've had nowhere to live. We can't find an apartment. There's no housing. And she said, you made that statement last week and no sooner had you finished saying it than my phone notifier went off. Come on, are you getting excited? And she looked at her phone and it was confirmation that the apartment they had applied for was hers. God can still speak his word, and the Spirit of God can move circumstances to make provision happen when provision shouldn't. Someone else called me this week and talked about damage to their eye. They had damage to their eye that needed repaired. And when they went to their doctor, to the surgeon, I believe the doctor said, your eye is being healed, and not only that, your eyesight's better in that eye than your other eye now. And that doesn't happen. And they closed their file and said, I don't know what to say. This doesn't happen. And that individual is able to say, I know how it happened. That's what Jesus does. Come on. That's what Jesus does. And when they're brave enough, I'm going to have them come and give the testimony from their own mouth. But can I tell you something? There is no amount of chaos. I have watched Holy Spirit come into the chaos of adultery and pornography and brokenness within a marriage and dysfunction. And I've watched the Holy Spirit start to bring order to that chaos and heal and restore hearts so that two people are walking in unity and in love and in harmony again. I have seen Holy Spirit come upon bodies racked with sickness and dying with jaundice and cancer, and I've watched the Holy Spirit hover over those bodies, and as we've spoken the word, the name Jesus, I have seen those bodies come into the order that God had intended through the stripes of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's power brought it to pass in their lives. I have watched the Holy Spirit take people who feel that they're in a dark and hopeless place or they've messed up so many times that there's no way back. And the Holy Spirit, step by step, decision by decision, has brought them back to a place of purpose and a place of meaning and a place of hope. That's what Holy Spirit does. Old Testament prophet said that God would place the Spirit in us and he would say, this is the way, go in it. Some of you are here today and you say, I don't even know the way forward. I want you to know something. He does. And you've been given Holy Spirit. He can lead you. He can guide you. He will use his word. He will use those inner promptings. You're not alone. The one who brought order to this planet can bring order to your life. In Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Can we stand? And I know things are a little different this morning because we're in the gym and we got to get the chairs put away for the daycare and all of that. But I believe we can pray and God can meet you this morning. But just like last week, we're going to allow, and the time's gotten away from us, so we can just do this as we close. There's going to be people waiting in the prayer room. As you go down the hall to where Pastor Jackie was registering kids this morning, right where her registration table was, there's a room there and the prayer team is willing to meet you there and pray with you. Last week, people came in and were prayed for. And we can't share all of the testimonies, but on a regular, if not weekly basis, as people are prayed for, God is answering and God is moving and God is supplying. So you can go down the hall, and I know it's easier when we're in here and you know, and we've only got a few feet to go, but listen, we just said God is everywhere all at once. He's no less there than he is here. Just take that 1 minute walk down the hall and they would love to pray for you. But I want to pray for each one of you today. I know some of you, there's chaos in your life. And I'm just going to speak that Jesus, by the power of his name and the power of his word and the promises of his word, will send the Holy Spirit and he will start to make the way forward for you. Amen. Father, we come in that name that we've been given. We've been singing about that name. We sang about, worthy is your name, Jesus. And your word tells us in Philippians 2 that your name is the name that is above every name. The Father has exalted you to the highest place, and we know that all authority is yours, Jesus. And so, Lord, we speak your name, we speak your provision, we speak your healing, we speak your promises over each and every son and daughter that's in this room today. And Lord, I just pray, Jesus, you would once again send the power of your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you would come. And not only would you come on us, but you would rise up within us with that resurrection life. Our Lord called you the Comforter, the one who comes alongside. We need your ministry this morning, Holy Spirit. We need your direction, your healing, your comfort. Oh, we need your wisdom. We need your forgiveness. And we thank you that you're so kind, you're so patient with us. Spirit of God, I've learned over the years that you want more for me than I even want for myself sometimes. So may we trust you and yield our lives to you. There are some people here this morning, Lord, that you are going to ask them to do some hard things, some steps of faith. Others, they're going to have to go and make restitution and make amends. And that's going to be a difficult thing. But Spirit of God, we can do all things through Jesus Christ who lives in us by your power and your presence. So whatever the way forward is that you have for us, we will yield, we will obey, we will submit because we trust you. And if we don't trust you, help us to trust you with the issues of our lives, Holy Spirit. For you are God. You love us. You have a plan and purpose for us that's good, and we thank you for this. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And we say this because the Father gave us his Son. The Son gave us the Spirit. And we honor you, Holy God, this morning. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.